Welcome back, adventurers, to another deep dive into Dungeons & Drams. We are cracking open Chapter 40 today, and I have to say, this might be my favorite chapter title yet.
Oh, absolutely. Glue that bird. It sounds like a frantic instruction you shouted at a toddler doing arts and crafts, not a high-stakes D&D objective.
Right? But as we find out, the literal interpretation is terrifyingly accurate. But before we get to the gluing of avian creatures, we have a long, cold road to travel. Tuki, Delnus, and Doug are on the move again.
Yeah, leaving civilization behind. They trek through Targos, past Bremen, and head out into the frozen wastes seeking the legend, Ungajok's Bell. And honestly, the atmosphere in this first section was stellar. Finding that abandoned cabin? The bell arch shaped by the tides?
Classic environmental storytelling. You have the empty hook, the frozen rowboat. It feels lonely. It feels like a place time forgot. And then they find the brass bell inside, fix it up, and ring it. And that is when things go from lonely survival game to high fantasy wonder.
Enter the narwhals,
briefly. But then, enter the big guy, Ungajok, a massive, awakened sperm whale. I love the lore drop here about Anga, the druid.
Hey, surprisingly touching, isn't it? Anga living in that desolate cabin just to be close to her awakened friend? It adds this layer of history to the Icewind Dale. It's not just monsters. There were friendships here. But functionally, Ungajok is the coolest taxi service in Faerun.
Literally and figuratively, he's got a boat strapped to his back with a magical air bubble. I actually really liked the mechanics description here. You can leave the bubble, but nothing enters from the outside. It's perfect for underwater research or smuggling adventurers past a giant rock.
Exactly. This is the only way to get to the island of Solstice without getting snatched out of the sky by Iskra. It's a stealth mission. I also have to give props to Garrett for making the sensible choice here.
Right? I'll stay here with the dogs. Garrett knows his limits. He is the anchor in reality while the main party goes full Jules Verne under the ice.
So they endure this long, dark underwater journey, and when they finally breach, the scale of the environment shifts. They aren't in human settlements anymore. They are at a dock built for frost giants.
The visual of that 50-foot cliff with giant-sized steps really sells the danger. This isn't a place meant for small folk. And looking up to see Grimskull Fortress in the distance? That is pure dread.
Speaking of dread, can we talk about the timing? Velen sends out her owl, and just as they're getting their bearings, the big bad clocks in for the night shift.
The scene with Iskra and Oral is terrifying. They see a massive shadow take flight from the fortress parapets. Oral is riding the rock to cast the everlasting rhyme. It's a great reminder of the stakes. We usually just see the effects of the winter, but seeing the god physically ride out to weave the magic, that's heavy.
It also provides a tactical opening. The boss is out of the dungeon, the house is empty, mostly. So they start the climb, or, well, they struggle up the climb. Doug is winded a quarter of the way up.
Relatable. Scaling giant stairs made of ice? My cardio is not ready for that. But this is where the chapter pivots from epic landscape to tense negotiation. Done this? Shines here.
He really does. He spots this little ice method, Sopo, watching them. Now, usually mephits in this campaign have been nasty little kamikaze nuisances, but this is a social encounter because of a linguistic coincidence.
I love that detail. Delnus is a Triton. He speaks primordial, specifically Aquin, and the mephit speaks Aran. They share that root language. It's one of those D&D moments where a character's backstory niche completely changes the trajectory of a scene.
Absolutely. Sopo was talking smack, assuming no one could understand him, and Delnus just responds. The pivot from insult to awkward conversation is hilarious, but the theme here is trust.
Or the lack thereof. Sopo buys the lie that they are acolytes of Oriel, or at least he pretends to. He's named Sopo, he's eager to help, maybe too eager. Delnus pulls off the deception, but even the narration notes that you can never be too careful.
Exactly. Is Sopo helpful because he's bored? Is he leading them into a trap? Or is he just a chaotic elemental who wants to see what happens? It adds this paranoia to the ascent. They have an ally, but it's a tenuous alliance.
And it brings us back to that ridiculous chapter title. The recap ends with the reminder. They are on a mission to to glue a bird to a castle. We didn't touch on it much, but that implies they have something sticky and they have a very weird plan for that rock.
Sovereign glue. It has to be. The idea of sneaking into a god's fortress aided by a suspicious ice mephit solely to prank a gargantuan bird with legendary glue, it is the definition of chaotic good energy.
It's high stakes absurdity and I am here for it. They've made landfall on Solstice. The Frost Maiden is away. The fortress awaits. I think Chapter 41 is going to be a heist movie.
A heist movie with giant steps and frozen birds. I can't wait to see if Sopo betrays them. Thanks for listening, everyone. Keep your glue handy.